ready. It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's episode 148. So glad you're listening to the Wayne's Comics podcast. This week I have a really special interview with Jeffrey Morris, the head of Future Dude Entertainment, who's creating great comics, great animation, and great gaming as well. It's a company that's entering the market with strong product. We talk about the first two comics that they've created, Brainstorm and Parallel Man. And you'll find my recent review of Parallel Man number 1 on the Major Spoilers website. We also talk about where he'd like to see the industry go, and he's got some great ideas, so I'm sure you're going to want to listen. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
I want to create legends. I want to create mythology. And I think that science fiction is futuristic mythology.
There's always a place for smart, intelligent stories that bring new ideas to the table. Story ideas that really give you something to think about, ideas to explore, new worlds to explore.
To tell stories that have a more sound background in plausible science and technology, we don't have to fall back on the old Hollywood template of how science fiction should be.
I think a lot of forms of entertainment in science fiction today are still concentrating on explosions and laser beams and spaceships, and those are all cool, and we're going to have those too, but we're also going to have people that are thinking and trying to resolve problems. They're not just using their fists or weapons, but are using their brains, which is the most powerful weapon.
No matter what the technology is, no matter what the location is, no matter how sci-fi-y we get, you're going to see part of yourself in these people. You're going to ask yourself, what if I were in their shoes? What would I do?
I want our society to be able to have options to experience entertainment that is not only just fun, but mind-blowing.
Let's tell stories that need to be told, a story that demands to be told, not just a story because we're trying to make some money. Let's tell a story that actually will resonate with people and actually get them excited.
I want to welcome to the podcast Jeffrey Morris, the founder, CEO, and CCO of Future Dude. You can go to their website, futuredude.com, and find out that they're involved in all kinds of good things, including comics and movies and all kinds of good things all interrelated there. How are you doing today, Jeffrey?
Doing really well, thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I came across your comics, and I was very impressed by them. The first two that have come out right now have been Brainstorm and Parallel Man, and really liked them both. Thought they were both really great comics, and so decided to try to track you down and see what's going on with Future Dude, because I never heard of your company before.
That's not surprising. We're new on the scene. I've been around for a while developing, creating content, but I just polarized it and pulled it together in the last 2 years to really develop the Future Dude brand. And, you know, in essence, we really was able to raise some money, some capital last summer, like summer 2013, and really get the company where I wanted it. So we spent the last year developing content, getting it moving, and that's why you're just seeing it now. So it makes sense you haven't heard of us, but people are going to hear about us, I think, as time goes on.
Well, I like what your website says. You have a little paragraph that says, "We dare to be smart and fun at the same time. We are a beacon back to the world of tomorrow. We are Future Dude Entertainment." Do you want to talk a little bit about what that means?
Absolutely. I grew up with a big interest in science, and actually started with the real stuff, you know, for me. It was watching the Apollo launches and looking at the astronauts on the moon and looking at, you know, Skylab, things like that. These things that were going on in the early 1970s, right? And, you know, when you connected that to, you know, movies like 2001, A Space Odyssey, or TV shows like Space 1999, there was a connection point there. You know, I felt like, hey, we're going to the moon now. So 30, 40 years from now, can't even imagine what kind of cool stuff's going to be going on. And if that kind of cool stuff's going to be going on in around the year 2000, then I can't imagine what it'll be like in the 23rd century. Maybe you actually could have a Starship Enterprise. You know, maybe you could really travel to the stars. You know, seeing that sort of thing when I was a kid, it was really, really exciting. And there was a future back then. People talked about what's it going to be like in the future. You know, people imagined things. People explored ideas. I feel like that's been lost. And I feel like we've got a problem these days in that everyone's kind of living now. you know, and there's not a lot of sense of hope or a future. And I want to bring that back. I also think there was a lot better storytelling going on back then. We have amazing visual effects capability these days, but I think that sometimes that overrides the need for good storytelling, you know, and so we can have big robots bash each other and, you know, have all kinds of cool, you know, you can make anything you want visually these days, but that doesn't mean you can tell a good story. And I think if you go back in time to when they told these great stories and they didn't have the special effects capability, it was about the human beings. So that's a big part of what it is. And then the last thing I'll say about it is also, I think that content, not only did it make more sense to a large degree, but I also think it was a lot more intelligent. We had different role models back then. You know, scientists could be a role model. You know, engineers were role models. Great leaders were role models. You know, and I want to tell stories that put those sorts of people back in the forefront and show how cool those people really are.
Well, I noticed I was reading one of your comics, and I noticed a scientist in one of your books. Do you want to mention which one that was?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we have Carl Sagan, who plays a major role in our Parallel Man series, actually. And what was cool about it is when I was developing the story, I thought, okay, we've got a parallel version of America that went down a different path. You know, then they said in their World War II, instead of developing the atom bomb, they developed this ability to cross universes. So I figured you could still have some of the same players, right? But then what if we mix those players up and put them in a different situation? And the things that I know about Carl Sagan, he was a huge role model for me growing up. He was always a warrior for reason and thought and peace, you know, those sorts of things, and using science and intellect to better humanity. So I thought, who better to lead a rebellion, you know, against a tyrannical regime, you know, than someone like Carl Sagan? And the cool part is his son, Dorian, is actually advising us and helping us to make sure that we're writing him in a way that's believable and exciting. So, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, you're getting off to the start because you mentioned the Enterprise. You made me think back to Gene Roddenberry in Star Trek. He went to scientists and he asked them what's going to be like in decades from now. And if you look at Star Trek now, the original series, you get to see floppy disks and, you know, cell phones and all these kinds of things, which we, you know, at that point was just like fantastical stuff. Are you going to do that kind of thing? Are you going to like approach science from what it's going to be like in the coming years?
You know, I think so. I think what I would say, what we're doing is definitely I'm trying to look at the possibilities. I'm always looking at, you know, what's possible. So, you know, one of my stories that I want to do in the future, they've been able to quantum teleportation where you've got two interconnected particles, right? And you're able to, they actually have transmitted data across 20 or 30 miles between two intertwined particles. It's really, really fascinating stuff, right? This quantum entanglement. And I thought, you know, what if you had a communication system like that? You can't send actual physical stuff, but you could send information, right? So those are the kind of things that I look at when I talk about creating a story, you know, going forward, is like those sorts of ideas that are on the forefront. Where is artificial intelligence heading? Where are our technologies? So yeah, you're absolutely right. We're definitely going to try to come up with new things you haven't seen before. There's some things in Parallel Man that you've definitely never seen before. I think it'd be really cool. Check out the, as you watch Parallel Man, you see the animation. And it's also in the comic book as well. You'll see something that I call the steering orb, where I thought it'd be cool if you had this floating magnetic orb, you know, sphere that they used to control a vehicle instead of a steering wheel. That was one of the ideas that I created. I don't know how you'd build one in real life, but it looks cool.
Well, that's how these things came. I mean, you know, people are still struggling to build transporters and things like that.
It's true. But, you know, it's starting to look like something like that might be possible. So, you know, if you think about it, as I've said many times, an iPad would be absolute magic to somebody even 50 years ago. You know, you put an iPad in front of them, they'd be like, what is this? You know, how does it even work? You know, you think about cell phones, all these things. We live in a science fiction world right now today. It just happens to be a science fiction world to somebody in the past. Right, there are all kinds of things that we take for granted in our everyday life that would have been absolutely fantastic to people in decades past.
Well, one of the other things about your company that kind of fascinates me is you're talking about becoming a premier international source for fun, intelligent, captivating, and family-friendly transmedia content such as video games, animation, and graphic novels. Most companies will focus on one of those things. They'll either do with video games, or they'll try to make animation, or they'll try to create comics or graphic novels. What is it that you're going to do that you're going to be able to spread over all those things? Are you going to be using some of the same stories in all three venues, or are you going to create different stories for each one?
Well, what we're doing, for example, the approach is called transmedia. Right. And so if you think about it, you go back in the past, you get something like Star Wars, you make the movie, right? You make the movie first and you say, you know what? Maybe we should have a book. Let's have a book. All right. Well, the movie came out, the book comes out. Later on, you go, you know, those things make really good action figures. Is there a market for it? Yeah. Millions of kids like this. Let's make some action figures. You know, you build it that way. And in some ways, compared to today, that would be backwards. Right now, what we could do is develop an IP, an intellectual property, from the ground up with the plan for it to work in these different venues from the very beginning and to have these different types of material have them interconnect and work together. So imagine this. We've got Parallel Man. The transmedia approach we're taking with that is we've got this core story, and we're really letting our 7-issue comic book series be the thing that leads us with that. We feel like that's the best way to tell the story initially. Now we've got animation, and we're in the process of completing a segment of the first issue of the comic book that's being animated, and it's absolutely spectacular. It's not like anything else around these days. It's going to blow your mind when you see it. And that animation will be finished by the end of October, and we're going to be putting it out as a promotional piece. But our goal is to, we actually have a meeting scheduled in October with Netflix to get Parallel Man on Netflix. That's our goal. Mm. Now, at the same time, we've got a mobile device game that we're doing for Parallel Man, and that game actually takes place in the story in the Parallel Man universe about 3 days before the comic book, right? Mm. So if you play that mobile device game, it's sort of an infinite runner game similar to Jetpack Joyride. It's really fun. And you get to skip universes. So you feel the Metacar, which is a primary vehicle that our hero, Nick Morgan, uses in Parallel Man. And that Metacar, he uses it to skip between universes, right? So that's what your video game is. You're avoiding different. So the story takes place in Chicago. And so you get all these different versions of Chicago in the game. You get an ice Chicago. You get a dinosaur Chicago. You get a flooded Chicago. It's all these different things. Yeah. So and then we're also developing a deck builder game. That would be for Parallel Man as well. That lets you play the Parallel Man universe. So that's, in essence, what we're doing. You know, we're creating it with the goal of going in all those different aspects of media at the same time. And you can play one of them or read one of them on their own. You don't even have to deal with the other stuff. But if you interact with the other bits of content, you're going to have a far more robust and exciting experience.
It's really a fascinating approach that you're taking because, you know, most people are just focused on one thing, like I was saying. Just they make comics and that's it, or they make other kinds of media. But the fact that you're building all these together, it's really an encouraging thing to see that you're actually going and doing these things instead of just being very focused in on one narrow aspect of it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Now, as far as the comics, let's hit those real quick, and then we'll talk about the other things. Sure. Two comics have come out so far that I'm aware of, Brainstorm number one and Parallel Man number one,
both of
which were great. Now, they came out, I was able to get those through Comixology. Mm-hmm. Are they only available digitally right now, or are they available through stores?
Let's see. Brainstorm number one came out in print in stores August 27th, and then Parallel Man number one. Actually, our distributor, we had a little bit of a hiccup, and I'm calling it the special preview because the distributor accidentally shipped it early, 2 weeks early. So there are parts of the country that actually got Parallel Man early. And so you can go to, I will put it on our website, we'll list it, but the official street date for the print version of Parallel Man was October 8th, but it looks like some parts of the country already have it. So, which I think is great. I'm excited about that. You know, there's some people like, you should be mad at them. I'm like, hey, thanks, guys. This is great because it gets it out. It gets the word out sooner. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Brainstorm number two will be out in print October 1st.
Okay.
And then Parallel Man number two, I believe, is November 7th, something like that. So, yep. And then they'll come on out every month like that. So we are doing digital first, though, with each title. Yeah, about 2 weeks early.
Okay. So as far as like digital goes, when is Brainstorm number two going to come out?
It's already out.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, take a look again. It should be out there. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that's and Parallel Man, too. And, of course, you got a big endorsement from Bob Layton on the cover of Parallel Man.
Yeah.
Which was very nice of him to do because he's really persnickety and really picky when it comes to storytelling and things like that. So the thing that he said about your comic on the cover was really great. He calls it a thrilling romp, which is something great.
And it was a real honor to have someone like Bob Layton give us an endorsement like that. It's very cool. And I've been really, really struck by how, when I created Parallel Man, I really, really wanted to make something that was fun. And that could pull together some new ideas, but then also feel familiar. I mean, it's funny, we've gotten a lot of positive reviews, but I had this really interesting negative review, which I think you can learn a lot from those, you know. But this guy felt that there were aspects that were very derivative of it. And he said, your website said that you guys are going to do all this new stuff, but this looks like this and this looks like that. Well, you know, I mean, the truth is, I feel that having this have a sense of familiarity is important in terms of having a touch point to get people into it. You know, I want the audience to feel like, hey, you know, if you think about something like Star Wars definitely repackaged different things from the past, but in a new way, right? And he brought a new twist to it. And that's exactly what I was trying to do with Parallel Man. And I think people like Bob Layton got that. There's an artist, Sid Mead, who I wasn't ripping him off. I'm doing an homage because, to me, what he did with Blade Runner and Tron was so cool, you know? And so it was exciting to me to do an homage with Parallel Man with things like that. So you will see a taste of Tron or a taste of Blade Runner in there. But this is because these things are so flipping cool, you know? And they haven't been around for a long time. And that's part of what it's about. But I think you're going to find the core of Parallel Man is a very original story. And it's going to go places that people are going to be just utterly shocked, I think, when they see where we're taking it.
No, I love the one-sentence description you have on the website of Parallel Man. An evil America enslaves alternate Earths. I like that. That's a good thing. And of course, we actually see President Obama in there.
Yep.
And we see the other president from the other universe.
Yes, the president of many universes. President of many universes, yeah. I thought it was very important to start off so that we, as an audience, understood that our universe, we need to be able to relate to the fact that our universe is the one that the story is going to take place in, as a basis.
Yeah.
Because if you just have all these random universes, like, kind of who cares? You know, it's like, it's got to be that our version of Earth, our version of America is in danger. So I wanted to start off, and I felt that putting President Obama in there was a cool way to sort of root it, because it's like, why not abduct our leader and tell him, you've got 24 hours, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, so actually, they give him 48 hours, but you get it.
Yeah. I also got a kick out of we get to see, not only see the main character, that's Tobias Morgan, we see him and from the alternate universe, and he actually jumps several universes as he's going through the comic. We see our version of him, who was not necessarily the same guy.
So you mean Nick Morgan. Nick Morgan. Tobias is his... that's okay. Tobias is his grandfather, actually.
Okay.
Yes, so Nick Morgan, yes. We get to meet Nick Morgan, and we go through different universes with him. And Nick Morgan from the Ascendancy, those are the bad guys in Parallel Man. They've created a hierarchy of universes. There's alpha universes, which are the ones they've conquered. There's beta universes, which are the ones that are ripe for conquering, which is what ours is. And then there's gamma universes, which you don't want to touch those. They're either too hard to colonize, or they're dangerous or toxic or all that kind of thing. Those versions of the Earth, you know. So we see a gamma world in the first issue, Parallel Man. We see a couple of them where one's ruled by the dinosaurs still. And there's another gamma world where we call it China America, where this crazy version of China was got it out of control. It's very Blade Runner-esque, and got this huge rolling mobile refinery, and there's a big action sequence beneath it. But anyway, getting back to it, Nick, you're right, Nicholas, we call him, Nicholas Morgan, who is from our universe, he's not the same as a super soldier, super guy from Alpha One. The version from our universe is more, he's a gamer, he didn't have a job, he dropped out of college, he's living off his grandfather, he just doesn't happen to know that his grandfather's actually from another universe. That it's not really his grandfather, his actual grandfather from our universe is actually somewhere else. So you'll find out as you read the story.
Very cool. Well, I like the fact that Tobias is sitting reading. He's reading Cosmos by Carl Sagan at one point.
That's intentional. You'll see a few other things like that. There are homages all through this thing. Like, again, I want to keep pointing out how cool some of these things are or used to be, you know.
See, I have to say, too, in both of the books, the artwork is very clear and very easily understood and very great to read. You know, visually, it's a good book, as well as, you know, the scripting is very strong and fast-paced. So I like that. That's one of the things that got my attention right away. It always does.
Thank you very much. You know, I really appreciate that compliment. It's something that quality was really important to me, and I take it very seriously, especially with something like Parallel Man, in that it could very easily descend into madness, you know, when you're hopping between different universes. And Christopher Jones, I have to give him a ton of credit for the quality artwork that he created. I'm really excited to work with Christopher for a number of reasons. One, he's just a killer artist, but number two, he actually gets this world building side of things. He gets this universe building thing. The work he did with Young Justice and some of the other stories that he's told, he really gets it. He's also a fan of some of the exact same kind of science fiction that I am. So we really hit it off and had a lot of fun creating Parallel Man. And when you see the art, I mean, the art just gets better.
Wow.
Issue two is going to take you places that they're going to blow your mind. And by the time you get to issue four, it just becomes a crazy roller coaster. But a roller coaster that makes sense. That's the cool part. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is going to be a miniseries or an ongoing? How's Parallel Man going to work?
Well, we're doing seven issues first, right? And there are actually three story arcs that we're creating. There's the first story we call Invasion America. And then there's a second series that follows on to that that ends with a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. And then we wrap it up with a third one. That doesn't mean that there aren't other stories that could be told. We are going to be doing some really fun one-shots next year between mm-hmm. series that deal with the dinosaur world that you see in the first issue. So you're going to get to see more dinosaurs. You're going to get to explore the dino world and then also get to see what happens when a dino warrior from their world gets transposed into another universe. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Mm. So one thing I wanted to make sure you know, too, I'm not sure you're the first person I've ever really shared this with, but there's a reason why we call the series Parallel Man. It's not just because they're traveling between universes. It's literally, when we first started this thing out, we were really literally going to take Nicholas, the gamer slacker guy, and we were mm-hmm. actually going to have him replace, we were going to have him replace Nick, that Nick was going to die, and Nicholas was going to have to take over for him and actually try to fake that he was Nick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we started writing that, and we're heading down that path, and then we started having fun with it, and we started, you know, when you got this buddy comedy going on in a way, where you've got two versions of the same guy, and they're so incredibly different, we were like, you know what, we got to keep this going. We're having so much fun with this, let's make this the story. And so it's more, it's not just about a parallel universe, it's about two versions of the same guy. That's Parallel Man. It's the two versions of Nick and Nicholas.
Mm. So cool.
I just got to give you a little fun insight there.
Yeah, that's good to know because, you know, the parallel universe thing is, science fiction has long loved parallel universes. And so like the idea of the two of them interacting and working with each other, that is such a great thing. And the notion that the grandfather is, this isn't his grandfather, it's the other grandfather. That's great fun. Also, there's a woman that's chasing after the original or the Alpha One. And so there's all these different kinds of things all going on and all these moving parts that are great fun. If you like storytelling, you like to keep track of these parts. And so for me, Parallel Man was a great fun read, you know, it got my attention because all these wonderful things are going on and there's lots of good story happening, lots of different parallel things happening within the story, not only within him.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. That's the goal, man. I wanted to create a really, really, really fun romp, you know, a fun, exciting romp that had meat to it, though, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to collect these into trades?
Absolutely. Yeah, the trade paperback of Parallel Man is actually scheduled to come out in June of next year. It will be hit the market. You'll have a trade. And then, like I said, between the end of the series and the trade paperback, there will be those two one-shots. And then we'll do a trade of those two together.
Cool. There's a lot of Parallel Man coming in.
There is. And then, before the end of the year, I can't give you the exact date. We're still wrapping up and going into testing on our mobile device game, but that will be available before the end of the year. And then we also will have the short for Parallel Man that will be available in probably top of November. It'll be completed in October. And then, I should add the animation. And we got some celebrity voices for the animated Parallel Man. Nick Morgan is actually voiced by John Cho from Star Trek and Harold and Kumar. And then Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Stargate Universe, she does the voice of Mackenzie, the villain. And then Lance Reddick, who I'm just a huge fan of, Lance Reddick from Fringe and The Wire, he does the voice of Atlas, who is the AI assistant to Nick, which is a super cool character, which I can't wait for you to see. Yeah, in the animation.
Okay.
So I got to work with all three of those actors over the summer, creating the animated piece of Parallel Man.
Very cool. Now, I guess Parallel Man is a perfect example of the kind of thing you're wanting to do, you know, doing all these three different kinds of media interaction. It sounds like it's going to work real well because if you take a liking to any of them, then you've got the other ones to reach out.
Absolutely.
If you come across a video and you find out there's a comic, you can go and buy the comic.
Right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the challenge going to be, though, are you going to, like, cross-promote them? Are you going to, like, in the comics put out about how to access the video and how to do the different things?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As soon as they're available, I'm going to start promoting them there. And so, like the video game will have a prompt that will tell you all about the comic book. And it'll also say, hey, if you want to know what happens next, buy a comic book. Or if you want to watch we're going to use the animation to motivate. And it's all cross-promoting. All of it's going to cross-promote. But it's not for some evil reason. It's because it's all fun. It's all cool. You know what I mean? It's all worth doing. I should tell you long-term with my company also that we haven't talked much about Brainstorm, the weather manipulation story, but that one's headed toward feature film land. That's going to be the next piece with that. And then we've got other stories. When I founded the company, I registered. I've got like over 20 intellectual properties that I've created over the years, and they're all science fiction, but they're all very, very different. And so some are targeted toward grown-ups, and some are very adult, some are kid-like, some are in the middle, but there's a big, broad range of future dude products. So that's all stuff that we have in the pipe eventually that we're looking at. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk a little bit about Brainstorm? Because I wanted to talk a little bit about that. This is much more of a, instead of parallel universes, this is pretty much focused on our Earth or the Earth that where everything takes place. Again, you've got one of these nice short sentence summaries. It says, weather control experiments go horribly awry.
Yes.
And, of course, it's a good story in the sense that, you know, this is science always has to deal with what happens when things don't go according to plan.
Yes.
You know, and yes. That's what Brainstorm is largely about. Do you want to talk about what the basic premise is?
I think what you said is really interesting because the idea is that you would hope that when scientists test new ideas, new technologies, new theories, they do it in the safety of a laboratory, right? And contain it in the laboratory. But in this case, we've got a situation where global warming, or I should say climate change, more accurately, has really created a circumstance where the U.S. military, which, and if you look at the U.S. military, they take climate change really seriously. They have official documents and edicts saying climate change is real and we have to combat the threat, right? Now, what does combat the threat mean? You know, it could mean, well, you know, stop using so many fossil fuels or do blah, blah, blah. But in our case, we're saying combat the threat is literally use a device which can actually be deployed into a tornado and destroy it and stop it because you have so much severe weather happening. This is set in the near future. It's sort of a man versus nature versus man story. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Well, the first book was great fun to read. It was really enjoyable, and so I can't wait for the second one. When we get done talking, guess where I'm heading? I'm heading out to find out an issue.
Absolutely.
I want to see that.
A protagonist. We have an interesting protagonist, and it's been very interesting watching reviews. We've gotten, again, like with Parallel Man, we've gotten a number of good reviews on it, but I have seen people say, you know, I don't really like that main character. I don't understand why he's such a jerk, and I intentionally created a main character who is a conflicted, dark guy. And you're going to find out a lot about how his darkness impacts this project directly and why as you go through the story. I'm not going to give it all away, but I'm going to say that that I wanted to create a guy that people could, if not relate to, learn about and discover and maybe empathize with as they know more and more about who he is and they see his life. And then they'll understand who he is, and through understanding him, you're going to understand a lot more about why this storm that eventually is created gets so bad.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, you were saying before that it's an option for a movie, or are you guys making the movie?
I have a screenwriter here. We're based in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but I'm currently in Los Angeles filming a movie, Oceanus, which is another one of our intellectual properties. But I'm actually working with a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and she and I are crafting a screenplay based upon the Brainstorm comic book. So there are going to be 6 issues in the Brainstorm comic book series, and we're going to take those 6 issues and we're turning them into a screenplay. And then Future Dude Entertainment, as one of our film projects, we're probably going to be doing it as a feature film before the Oceanus big feature comes out. So you could probably look at it sometime in 2016, I think, would be when a Brainstorm film would be released. And, you know, and unlike other big disaster movie type things, we're actually playing it as a character drama that happens to have disaster movie elements instead of it being a disaster movie that happens to have character elements. We're going to go the other way. It's like we're not trying to compete with Day After Tomorrow or 2012 or any of these. We're really trying to tell the story of Cale Isaacs and his struggles, and it just happens to be this weather stuff is going on at the same time. It's going to be really – I think we're going to have a very unique approach to it that's far more character-driven. So, yeah.
Sounds good. That's great stuff. Now, you mentioned Oceanus, and I know you were directing. The description you have on your website is an underwater base is humanity's last hope.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about, like, who's in Oceanus? What kind of things are going on in that book?
Sure. Well, it's a film. It's a film right now. It's not a comic book series. And I'm gonna wait and see what happens with Parallel Man and Brainstorm before I really launch an Oceanus series. I'm trying to see where the marketplace is. And one of the things I'm learning is that we have a comic book market that's very superhero driven. Not that there aren't other stories like the Sagas of the World and others that, you know, come in from the outside, The Walking Dead's, whatever, that get people's attention that are non-superhero. And I think that Brainstorm could be that kind of success. I think Parallel Man, I intentionally want Parallel Man to have a little bit of a superhero feel to it, but it's not a superhero story, but it's got that feel to it. Oceanus is very different. It's a science story. It's a science fiction story in the true sense of what science fiction is all about, in that I have a science advisor from NASA who actually was a science advisor to Kevin Grazier, who was a science advisor to both the movie Gravity and also Battlestar Galactica, who actually I worked with to develop the base of Oceanus. And it's a story that takes place 10 to 15 years in the future when there's an underwater city that's been constructed in the Pacific. And this underwater city, they're doing research, they're understanding the oceans, they're understanding sea life, they're understanding new potential power sources, and it feels kind of like 2001 A Space Odyssey, or it's got that energy, you know what I mean? There's that traffic underwater, there's a living, breathing environment down there, people living there. But what we're doing with the story is we're going to turn it on its ear, because you've got these people living underwater, and it turns out that living underwater is one of the few places you might, quote-unquote, might be able to survive if an extinction-level event occurred on the surface. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're creating a situation where the people who are living underwater, they survive an asteroid similar to what killed the dinosaurs. But whether or not life on land survived is a question. So I thought it was cool to make an underwater city and tell a story about it, but I thought it would be even more interesting if you had no choice but to live in an underwater city. So that was the basis of that story. So that film will be starting off as a short film, but it's for a greater feature film that we're moving on very quickly. Response has been tremendous. We have Bruce Davison, who was in the X-Men films, and he's one of the stars, and Sharif Atkins, who's in the show White Collar, and previously from ER, he's the male lead, and a lovely actress named Megan Dodds, who is the female lead, who's from CSI New York. She was in that show. So, yeah, so we've got a super cool cast. We've got great costumes, amazing set. This initial story takes place entirely in a submarine, and I wanted to tell a very claustrophobic, intimate story about this married couple who are, while they're struggling with their relationship, are caught in this cataclysm, you know, and it's a pretty fun story. And so we start shooting actually tomorrow morning. Here in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Wow. Well, good luck with that, because I'm really looking forward to seeing that. How are we going to be able to access this? Through the website? How are we, when Oceanus?
Oceanus will be the goal. I'm targeting having that available right at the top of February 2015. Okay. And so I definitely, for a while, I will have it available for free via the Feature Dude website, and also, you know, be on YouTube, Vimeo, our website. And then also, I think after, I'm going to probably leave it there for a couple of weeks, get the buzz going. Because I think when you see what it looks like, imagine 2001 A Space Odyssey underwater, but with a lot more action and adventure and character heart to it. That's what we're creating. Yeah, so then it'll be available on iTunes after that. Probably.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. You know, somebody just reminded me, you have a full page ad in the latest previews book from Diamond.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So that was kind of neat to see. So you guys are, you're here to stay, sounds like.
Yeah, we are. We are. We actually have a really great relationship with Diamond, and I'm very excited to be working with them. And independent comic book companies, you know, it's hard to keep going and get moving, but the thing that's so cool is we're getting taken very seriously. You know, we got a great relationship with them. We got a good relationship with Comixology. We work with actually the top people at both companies to promote our content, and they see us. I was just saying to my wife and business partner just a couple of days ago, it's like, man, we got to get more comic books going because this is actually working. So we've got a few other things that we're looking at too down the road that'll be pretty cool. We got something that deals with drones. Let's put it that way. It deals with drones, and imagine. Mm-hmm. You see where drones are right now. Imagine what drones might be like 20 years from now. Ooh. And combat and war situations with drones. And what if you were the guy who had to fix them? That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
But that's one of our stories that we've got in the pipeline as a comic book series. And, you know, we've got a couple other ones to deal with industrial espionage and things like that. So, yeah. But again, most of our stuff is all in sci-fi, but it's got a real world basis to it.
Well, it really sounds great. It's something that's going to appeal, I think, to an adult audience as well as people who are not necessarily in, you know, who are maybe younger kids, but who can understand science and things like what you're talking about. So it's nice to see that you're challenging the audience rather than talking down to the audience, which I think is a great sign for your company. I really do.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I mean, I do not want to talk down to the audience. By the same token, I also think you've got to have age-appropriate content. I think that's been a real problem lately, you know, with some of the stuff that's crossing over for kids. I think it shouldn't be for kids, you know. By the same token, I think that a lot of stuff that's created for kids is actually too stupid. I think that it underestimates the intelligence of kids. I've got an 11-year-old son, and he likes smart stuff. He wants to see that kind of thing. There's got to be a place to do that. There's got to be a place to go and see those things. And I think that, you know, creating I hate the term family or family-friendly simply because I think it pigeonholes it in a certain way. And I think what we're really trying to do is create some of our content. It's just for everybody. It's more like that. But it doesn't talk down to you, and it's not going to be stupid, and it's not going to be childish. It's still going to, you know, challenge you and still be interesting. It just may not have gore in it. One of the reviewers who read Parallel Man was really cool. I think it was probably one of my favorite reviews to date. This guy, he said, you know, I read Parallel Man number one, and I was shocked that there were no bloody executions, that when the bad guys caught up to someone, there was no gore. And he said, it made me realize that my expectations had been affected by reading DC Comics and some of the Marvel comics over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And he said, it was really cool because I was at the edge of my seat as I read Parallel Man, but it never went there. It never had to go there. And that's exactly what I've been trying to say. It's like, we can tell good stories, and they don't have to be gory. They don't have to be overly violent. They don't have to have a bunch of swearing in them. Mm-hmm. We do have a little swearing in our stories because I think it makes it seem more realistic. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to go gore, and I'm sure not going to go sexism. I think the way that women are treated in typical comic books these days is awful. I think it's just awful, and I don't like the idea that as a culture, that's what we're shown is what the expectation of how women should look, how they should dress, how they should act. And so you'll notice that Mackenzie, the character in Parallel Man, she's an attractive woman, but she's a powerful, strong woman. She wears the same commando clothes that a male commando would wear. You know, and we're going to do that. All of our titles are going to have that same approach. We're going to have cool female characters, strong female characters, but we're not going to be doing the sexism.
Mm-hmm. So. That was one thing I read in your description, and the description of it that you wanted, that was trying to find that word again, about diversity was going to be something that was going to be something that we would see, which drives me crazy. I can't understand why people can't make characters that are diverse without taking somebody else's identity away. And
yeah,
you guys are doing that already. You're creating characters that are diverse, but you don't have to take them from somebody else and change them. You can make your own characters.
That's right. No, absolutely. No, I mean, the main character in Brainstorm, actually, he's gay. You know, now we don't make a big deal out of him being gay. It's an aspect of his character, but it's not all of who his character is. For him, he doesn't even go around talking about it. What we're dealing with is how other people have reacted to their knowledge that he is, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's somebody, like, for example, his brother has kind of figured this out about him. His brother bullies him about it. And this is based on people I've known or things I know about in real life and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a real life story, and I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't tell that kind of story in an honest and open way and really look at this character and get to know him, but as a human being. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really important. You know, when you get into Parallel Man, last thing I want to say about that is that we do deal with the issue of Parallel Man, Alpha One, the main universe in it, it really stopped evolving socially in 1948 when the Cartwrights, the bad guys, took over. And there's been a succession of Cartwright men who have controlled America, their America, Alpha One, the Ascendancy. And what's happened is, in the story, socially, so you never had a civil rights movement. You never had a women's rights movement. You never had an integrated army, armed forces. So their America has a very, very different view of things, because you do have segregation. You have what they call colored soldiers or Negro units. Women don't serve openly. So Mackenzie Cartwright, the main female character, she's the president's daughter, and she's basically been taking advantage of the fact that she's the president's daughter to actually become a soldier and become a military force, you know? So it's pretty cool. As you get into this, you're going to learn more about that social thing. We're not using it for a message, but we are using it because we think it's really interesting. And if you tell those sorts of interesting stories, good science fiction is a mirror. Good science fiction is a mirror for our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what the original Star Trek was all about, right? Gene Roddenberry actually wanted to tell a story about the 1960s, but instead he turned around and made it in the 23rd century so you could talk about the 1960s. In a lot of ways, we live in America right now that's deeply divided along many, many different lines and divisions. Mm-hmm. It's almost like living in parallel universes right here. But Parallel Man definitely has aspects of that in it.
Well, I found the sentence I really liked. It says, "We are committed to producing non-sexist, diversity-driven material that is without excessive violence and misconception." So I really like that a lot. Wish other comics felt that way.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to have to write some reviews on this, because I write reviews at Major Spoilers as well. I have to write some a review, especially since Parallel Man is kind of staggered. That'll give me a chance to write a review about it, because I really like the book and would love to get the word out on it.
You know, man, I just got to tell you, it's an honor to be on your podcast. It's an honor to have you review and talk about our stuff. I mean, it's important to me. I'm really trying to create this stuff for people like yourself, because someone's got to do it. You know, it's like I look at the marketplace, and I think this medium, comic books, film, all this stuff, there's so much potential to it, you know, and so much of it is just copying itself, you know, and going in the wrong, you know, and I just feel like there's room for something else, you know, and so, you know, thank you for getting it, and thank you for reaching out to me to help promote it. It means a lot.
Well, I got one last thing to tell you.
Sure.
When I took a second, I looked at my iPad, and I did find Brainstorm number 2, and I've already downloaded it, so I'm going to get to read it once we get
Oh, great.
So I like that book really well. Jeffrey, a lot of success to you. I hope we get to talk again in the future, because I think that you're on the right track and doing some great stuff, and I would really like to see this company take off and really become one of the big companies out there for comics and entertainment.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And like I said, with the help of people like yourself, we'll make it happen. And how about this? Let's plan on me coming back, you know, here later in the fall or early next year. We'll talk about, you know, where we are in Oceanus and do an update. I think it'd be a blast. I've certainly enjoyed talking to you.
Well, let's do that. I really count on you to do that, because you guys have a great, great, great company, and you're making great product, and there's nothing better than that.
Well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this episode. I have an assignment for you all before listening to next week's episode. My interview is going to be with Jeremy Hahn, who's going to be providing the art on Constantine, starting with number 18, which comes out this Wednesday in comic shops. We'll talk about the book and about what it's going to be like taking over a comic that also has a TV show based on it. So I'm sure you're going to want to listen. Then in 2 weeks, episode 150 with a special guest interview. But until then, keep reading your comics.